Systems initiated. You're listening to the Empire Podcast Network.
This is Jacob Young. Many of you have followed my career on television and in movies for the past 20 years. As Jacob Young, the actor, the characters I've played have had mountains of problems to overcome. Let's face it, nobody's life is perfect. And in real life, I've also had my fair share of challenges to face. This podcast series, sponsored by Boys Town, is a place to hear some of my famous friends talk about the issues that they've had to face, and how they've jumped over those hurdles on a pathway to a healthy mental outlook. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young. Hey everyone, this is Jacob Young. I've known this week's guest since I was 17 years old. Now I'm honored this week that my special guest is my mother, well, my TV mother. And over 35 million viewers see her every single day in over 100 countries. She just celebrated her 34th anniversary on The Bold and the Beautiful, playing the one and only Brooke Logan. And my special guest this week is the one and only Catherine Kelly Lang. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real with Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, that was quite an intro. I remember you when you first came on the show. You were 17. You were the cutest, sweetest, very vulnerable, you know, just really nice guy. And you've come such a far way, but still have not lost your beautiful innocence and your joy for life.
Oh, you're so sweet. Gosh, keep it coming. Keep it coming. No, well, first of all, you know, I want to congratulate you. 34th anniversary. That's big.
Yeah, that is big. That's a long time. It's hard for me to even grasp what that means. But to me, what it means is that time is flying by. When I think back to the very first day of the show, I was just a kid then, it seems like, you know. And I've spent so much time on the show. It's a part of my life. It's a part of me. Like, I just wouldn't even know what I would do without the show if it wasn't there for me anymore. Because it's been kind of... It has been a staple in my life. You know, it's kind of my foundation. And then everything else that's going on in my life kind of grows from there. So I'm so blessed and so thankful to have that job still 34 years later. I still love it. I still love it. Every single day I go to work.
That's amazing. And coming in at such a young age and where you are now, what is something you've taken away from those years as growing through that? Like, what have you taken away as a woman today from when you were that young woman starting off on the show?
What I've taken away from that is appreciate what you have. Appreciate those opportunities that you have worked for and you've tried for and you've had goals and things like that. But really, when you get it, you've got to appreciate it. Even if you want more out of life, even if there's other things you're striving for, really still appreciate what you have and what you've created for yourself in that moment.
In the 34 years, your character has been through a lot of up and downs, right?
Yeah.
Heavy emotional storylines. Now, this is a mental health podcast, and so many people have challenges in their regular day-to-day lives, their work lives, problems at the very front door, where, you know, right when they come home at night. How do you separate, say, a heavy storyline that you're going through emotionally on camera from invading maybe your personal life?
It's something I believe you should do as an actor, because you don't want to bring that home. You want to be able to go to work, you know, whatever your process is to become into your character, then do that then at work and get the job done during the day and then leave it there. And when you come home, that's your time to wind down, to relax, to spend with your loved ones, and just to pretty much regenerate yourself for the next day. Some people, the method actors do it differently, but you definitely can't do that for a day-to-day show. You have to learn how to leave all that emotion there. And yeah, the storylines have been dramatic through the years. And some which I really appreciate have been like, I did a rape storyline, which really helped a lot of women after, because we did a PSA and so many women had called in after that for help to the hotline because they were so nervous to do it before. But this storyline helped them come out and realize they still needed help, even if it was years later, and they were able to call into the hotline, which we provided them after those shows. And so that kind of thing makes me feel really good, because you feel like you're doing your job, you're acting, but you're also reaching people that maybe need some help. And sometimes it's important to do that. Other times it's nice just to provide the entertainment. But to me, it feels really good to help. And the same thing was similar with the homeless storyline that we did, which was a really, really nice story, really nice arc. And it lasted for a little while, and it really reached out to bring awareness to the homeless issue and homeless problems and what we could do about it.
Yeah, well, Bold and Beautiful has definitely been a trendsetter. And I think, you know, just daytime stories in general, because it's reaching the public, as you said, it's Monday through Friday. They have the opportunity to reach people on such a daily basis. And these storylines can be very impactful for people who are at home watching these stories. And Bold and the Beautiful, again, it's a trendsetter as far as the homeless storyline or a rape storyline like that. What are some of those secrets that you've been able to use to shut down before you come home after dealing with, you know, because we invest ourselves as actors in such a big way. What are some of the ways that you allow yourself to decompress?
Definitely don't let the day get to you. Like, some days are good, some days are bad. Not every day can be perfect. So you may have a flawless day and think, oh yeah, that was great. Those days are easier to leave behind. Or there's sometimes you leave work and you will keep recreating a scene over and over in your head and thinking of all the other different ways you could have or should have done it. So that will haunt you because it keeps you in that emotion. That really is a negative emotion unless you're trying to do it to better yourself, which is good too. It's good to look at, but it's not good to obsess over these things. And maybe you can allow yourself, like for me, for example, just the time in the dressing room to like think, oh, I could have done this or I should have done that, or it would have been interesting if it was done this way. And then leave it at that. Change, take off my makeup, go get in my car, go home, and forget about that.
So maybe a little self-care.
Yeah. Well, you need self-care. So in order to do that, you got to put everything else to rest for a while. You got to clear your brain. You've got to do what makes you feel good. And it's not being selfish. You need to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to help others or be an inspiration for others whatsoever. So self-care could be anything. What makes you feel good? What makes you relax? One of a few things that make me relax is going for a 2-3 hour hike in the mountains, you know, just nature, hearing the birds sing, feeling the sun on my face, the wind in my hair, and just time to allow all those thoughts, especially the negative ones, to go away, to disappear, all the stress, let it go. Yeah. And that gives you time alone just to, it's almost a form of meditation, you know? So some people can meditate, some people can do yoga, you go for hikes. Exercise is good as a stress reliever. Taking a hot bath and bubble bath, you know, with a sip of wine, maybe. Yeah.
People, some people over-examine what self-help care is, really.
It can be simple.
It can be something simple as taking a nap.
Yeah,
this is my time. I was talking with David Chokichi from Baywatch about this, and oh, man, he was such an inspiration. He offered so much. He's apparently found this really nice channel in his life of just self-care. And he spoke a lot about that. And nobody should feel bad about that, because that's the time that you have to recharge those batteries and give yourself the opportunity to disconnect so you can be better for somebody else. If it's your, you know, your family or your grandbabies, right? You've got grandchildren, which I can't believe. I'm looking at such a beautiful, stunning woman. I still never could believe you played my mom. It was unreal. And you still are so gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
But it's true. You have to take that time for yourself, and whatever it is that you find makes you happy, makes you relaxed, makes you relaxed, and makes you feel less stressed.
Right. Exactly. So don't make it complicated, folks. Give yourself a little self-care. Take a bath. If that's what it helps nurture it, take a hike. Do something that makes you feel good, that allows you to disconnect from the stress of the world. Only then can you be the best version of yourself. Now, you and I both pretty much, Kelly, grew up on TV in these roles on Bold and the Beautiful, because that's where I started. How much of the real Catherine Kelly Lang is sort of injected into Brooke?
Well, when you're doing a daily show, I find that you still have to have some of yourself in there. But when I meet people, they say to me, you are not at all like your character. And which is kind of interesting. I find that Brooke even talks differently than I do. because I get into hair and makeup, into my wardrobe, and I feel like I become this other person. I am Brooke. But I know her so well that it's not difficult to, you know, change into this character. But through the years, she's has her own rhythm, her own gestures, her own way of speaking and how she deals with things. And she's definitely evolved into this alter ego of mine. It's hard to explain. It's very interesting, actually. It's like she's like a sister to me.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. And that's why I asked the question, because I, too, have experienced that. I've done 800 episodes on Bold and the Beautiful and 800 episodes on All My Children over the years. And there's a process. And I sometimes feel like, obviously, as an actor, you have to inject your own personal perspective into a character. But there's something about once you're in wardrobe and makeup that embodies that moment, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm primed and I'm ready to go. And look out, world, step out of the way.
Exactly. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And speaking of being so cool, there's a lot of fans, of course, that enjoyed the show. And this might have been a question that people have asked over the years, but have you had any strange fan encounters over the years?
I do get that asked a lot.
I'm sure.
And other than some scary letters and things that have had to be turned into the police so that they could watch this person, that was like one of the bad things I've had. But mostly it's all good. It's like people really, really appreciate the show, first of all. And most of the people I meet say they've watched the show from day one. So they know everything. They know the history. They've been there. We're their family, you know, and it just means so much to them. And I've heard so many stories from so many people about how what is interesting is it brings it back around to family. So it always reminds them of, I used to watch this with my grandma. Now she's passed away, but it reminds me of her every time I see the show and the connection we had. Or, hey, I still watch that with my mom and my grandma. Or the family sits around the TV and that's the time that they have family time watching the show together and then discussing it after. Or, you know, there's so many stories that I've heard like that, which I find really interesting because it's always about family and that connection and that love. And that's what Bold and Beautiful is about. So it's nice to hear those.
Yeah, well, the daytime serials are a generational thing. They've been passed down, and they touch the hearts of the grandmother, and then the daughter, and then the granddaughter. And that's what I've found was so wonderful that it is. And I there's been a few unusual experiences that I've had and some really pretty odd things that have been said to me over the years. But, you know, I thought I'd ask that because, you know, hey, I've got a couple stories and, you know, I share them occasionally on here.
Well, share one. What?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, one time at band camp. No, not band camp. No, one time I was just courting my now wife, Kristen, and we were in New York City, and I had barely just gotten to know her, and I barely had just finally told her that I actually was working on all my children. And we were sitting at a cafe, a little lunch hour restaurant in New York City, and somebody had came up, it was a fan or whatever, but she said to me, she goes, JR, that was my character I was playing. JR, she said, how dare you cheat on Babe? And I went, nice, thank you. I appreciate that, yeah, thanks a lot. I'm, you know, hi, nice to meet you. And she goes, no, what are you doing? Like, she just, like, snapped, and it just went on and on. And finally, like, Kristen's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, like, what to do? Finally, I just, you know, I signal over the waiter, and I pay the check, and we get out of there early. And she's still yelling across the street, even after we crossed the street in New York, that she thought it was real. And there is, because of some people, it is in their homes every single day, Monday through Friday. Well, you know, for the most part, Monday through Friday. So they sometimes can't draw that line. And I'm not saying that it's not that commonplace. It's not that sort of scenario with everybody, because I've met, don't get me wrong, lots and lots of gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful human beings that are fans of all these different shows and stories. But I've had a lot of encounters like that. Very few, but not a lot. But, you know, encounters that have been strange.
Yeah, I love hearing you say that story, because when you first asked me that question, this is the story that immediately popped in my mind, was similar to yours. But I thought, oh, people don't really understand the gravity of it. But when it happened to me, I was like, this is really bizarre. Is this person really serious? And I believe she was. She really believed it. So something similar happened to me. Some lady came up to me and she said, oh my gosh, Brooke. I'm like, yeah. Brooke, you've got to watch out for Taylor. She's out to get your man. I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks. That's really nice. I just went along with it. I start to go away. She's like, no, grabs me. No, I'm serious. I am serious. You have to watch out for her. She's really after Rich. And then I was like, okay, thank you for letting me know. Because she really believed it. And it bothered me for a while. I was like, was she just kind of being, you know, funny, or was she really serious? And she was really serious. But I was just trying for a long time to kind of grasp that, being in her position, you know. And like you said, we're in their living rooms every single day. We become almost like reality to their daily existence, their daily living, you know. And it's, to some of them, yeah, it kind of crosses the line, like what's real, what's not.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The gravitas of that is that we are in their lives daily, mm-hmm. and they really absorb themselves into these storylines, and they have. And I've noticed that for years. Back in the late, it was the 90s to early 2000s, it was all about the blogs and things and these different fan sites. They were just sort of commenting on it. And I got, you know, I saw what that was back then, and it just grew. And, you know, sometimes it can be strange, but, you know, regardless, you're affecting people, right? It's reaching people. And mm-hmm. so you go, okay, it's a great thing no matter what. You know, mm-hmm. obviously something about what we're doing is really important to people. So right. So whether 99% of it's great and 1% of it's bad, it's still, you know, it's still part of the life. It's part of the culture. I've loved daytime. I've been a part of it for many, many, many years. And so I just thought I would ask you, and thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah, I love daytime too. I love the whole idea behind it, really, a show that can go on forever and ever. Daily show, can you imagine pumping out those scripts and the writers and what they have to go through and coming up with the ideas and the stories? I mean, it's like kudos to the writers and to Brad, you know, executive producer.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
I mean,
people always ask, they go, well, how do you learn all those, that dialogue? You're like, well, how are they writing all that dialogue?
Exactly.
Just to get through that next week.
Think of that. Because you just think about your job. But then when you stop and think about everything that has to be done for everything to go smoothly, and, you know, besides the writing, even everything else, you know, and it's just everybody has to be a good, well-oiled machine to keep it running smoothly and being successful for so long.
Sure. Do you ever find it stressful?
I find it stressful when I don't know my dialogue well enough, because I don't like going in and not really being 100% perfect, but I'm a perfectionist that way. But I don't like going up on my lines, because I feel like it really messes up the other person, it messes up the rhythm of the show. And now, especially, we move so fast. You've got to pretty much be ready to go in and get it right on the first take and move on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't even do camera rehearsal. It's like, okay, you ready to tape this? Okay, let's do it. Yeah. You know, that's usually a shorter scene. But still, I like to be really well prepared. Sometimes because of life and how busy things are, I don't get to study as much as I would like to, because it's hard to keep that up every single day on a, you know, say you may even have 7 to 10 shows a week, and it's just, it's a lot to get through. But I just try to do my best.
How do you balance that stress? How do you balance the stress of that and like your life? Because you know, you're such an important person to your own personal family.
I have to give myself a break sometimes, because I am a bit of a perfectionist and I want to do everything perfect, but you can't. Nobody's perfect. You will never be perfect. I'm not saying you can never.
I'm going to say she's pretty perfect anyway, but go ahead.
I mean, you can always strive. There's always something to learn, which is what I love. And you can always strive to be better, a better version of yourself. You can't really compare yourself to other people. You can't say, "Ooh, I want to be better than that person," or "I want to be better." Yeah, sure, they can motivate you, but the best thing to do is to compete with yourself. Like, I want to be better than I was yesterday with what I was doing then, you know, and so you can grow. You can look at ways to learn more, to educate yourself. And I always find that interesting and exciting. So
Ron Duguay from the New York Rangers, who I interviewed, you know, stallion of a New York Ranger, you know, he was Studio 54 on the cover of Interview magazine, dated Cher. I mean, like, he said, be the best version of you and be the best particular thing that you do. Try to be the best you can at that, but you can't be any better than that. You can only be the best version of who you are. If you're imitating somebody else, you're not being the best you. So you just completely paralleled what he was saying. And
cool.
Yeah. So, hey, look, now you're playing hockey. Come on, Catherine, you're not only on the Bold and Beautiful, now you're going to be a New York Ranger.
I just feel that you have to give yourself a break sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, you know, but on the other hand, there are people that maybe are too lazy. So then they have to find ways to kick themselves in the butt a little bit, or find ways, things that motivate them. But for me, I think I try to do too much all the time, and I need to just, okay, calm down, give yourself a break, focus on the things that you need to do at that moment, and not try to do everything.
Right. 100%. Well, that was all the other part he said. He's like, if you're gonna be a mechanic, be the best mechanic you can be.
Right.
Right? Be the best,
right?
You know,
janitor,
yeah. Whatever it is, construction worker.
Just be the best. You will become proud of what you do and love what you do.
Love what you do.
You have to love what you do regardless of what it is.
Yeah. Now, you've had such a successful career. How important has self-confidence been in helping you succeed?
I would say that so much of it. Because there's people around you that no matter what, for whatever reason, will say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you'll never get there. Oh, don't be ridiculous. Oh, you know, you're not cut out for that. Or whatever it is that people are trying to feed you in your life, if you have people around you like that. Or then again, there's the positive people. But I always chose to listen to the people that helped me, that were mentors, that boosted me up, that believed in me no matter what. And that's because that's how I felt about myself. If I really believed something strongly and I believed I could do it, there was nothing stopping me. And I believe that's true too. I believe, as I did, started doing those Ironman races also, and their motto is anything is possible. And after doing a 2.4 mile swim, a 112 mile bike ride, and then a marathon, I'm like, wow, I guess anything is possible, because that was quite a physical feat. But that's how I've always been in my life. I like to set myself a goal, and then I like to do the work necessary. Of course, you have to put the work in. I was able and willing to do the work necessary to make it happen.
What do those words mean to you, though? Like, anything is possible. If you could put those into words for you personally.
I believe to keep it simple. I like to just say anything is possible. And as simple as that is, that's as simple as achieving what you want. Anything is possible. If, I do believe though, if it's something you truly want, that is truly driving you from your gut, that says, no matter what, I am going to get there. And then anything is possible.
Do you have any mantras that you, other than anything is possible, that drive that for you personally?
I love, and I can never remember them, because I always think to myself, I really wish I could remember that, but I have to remember so much dialogue for the Bolden people.
I feel like I have onset Alzheimer's at this point from all the dialogue that I've learned over these years, to be honest.
That's how I feel. Oh, so I can't remember them, but I love reading mantras. I love reading inspirational quotes. I will read them anywhere. I'll read them from books. I'll read them off the social media, because you can find lots
yeah,
there now.
Of course.
I'll go to Google. I'll go to, you know, anywhere I can see inspirational quote or something. You know, sometimes they have them out in front of coffee shops, and I'll be like, ooh, okay, that's my mantra
for today. Well, you know what, actually, it's as simple as that. You know, sometimes you just look around, you know, if you're feeling a little bit, maybe a low, or maybe you're feeling really good and you just really want to be that much more inspired. Just look around, guys. They're all around us, mantras. Mira Sura, who was on the show, one of hers was like, if you're always ready, you'll never have to be. I was like, well, that's pretty much makes sense. Yeah, if you're always ready. I know sometimes my underwear's kind of halfway up my butt crack and I'm not quite all put together, but you know, sometimes, you know, I try to be ready so I don't have to be, but I like that. You're such, you know, not only an award-winning actress, right, but also such a successful entrepreneur. You have one of the most beautiful leather goods stores in the very fashionable Beverly Hills. Can you tell our listeners about the boutique Benhart?
It's called Benhart, and the designer came up with his brand, I want to say 8 years ago. His name is Ben Hisham. And he had, the story behind this is, he had a heart transplant. But when he was playing soccer on a field, he collapsed. And the doctor said, well, we're going to need to put you in a coma in order to wait for a heart. You need a heart transplant. You have to wait for a heart. So they put him in a coma. He was in a coma for 6 months before they got him a heart. And then you still never know if the heart will take. The heart did take. He came out of it just full of fire and wanting to do something amazing with his life. And Benhart came out of that, his brand and his beautiful designs. And it's all handmade goods from Italy. It's all handmade leather jackets, bags, shoes, wallets, belts, amazing style, amazing product, really artisan style, almost kind of vintage style too. It has such heart, I want to say, in all of the items, and people just love the brand. And we opened our store a little over a year ago. Sadly, we ran into COVID, but then we kind of readjusted and did most of our marketing and sales through Instagram. And that's still how we're selling most of our things today. We go on live with everybody every single day, show them around the store, try things on for them. Then we speak to them after. If they leave us a DM, we will show them more video. We'll show them more pictures of things that they may want, and they shop with us that way. So it's been really wonderful. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and also Dom, my honey, as well. Mm-hmm. So we have this store together, and it's been amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been first of all, let's talk about that, because I've seen the Ben Hart goods. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you check it out. They have an Instagram site, obviously, the .com. It's so interesting how fashion, especially during the pandemic, and how people have had to adjust. And the fact you guys have been hands-on, and almost like, I've seen this with real estate too, because I've checked out real estate. They're like, hey, you don't have to visit. We'll walk you through the house. Here you go. And they take you through and be like, can you lay in the bed for me, please? I just want to see if I can imagine myself in the bed. You know, but
yeah, because the customer service, it becomes so much more personal, and the customer service is above and beyond. I mean, everybody has to do what they have to do at this moment. So, and people have thanked us immensely, not only just to help them shop, but to entertain them. And I'm not doing the lives every single day. Dom does most of the lives every single day. But then I'm there sometimes, and then we do it together, or sometimes I'm there and he's not and I do it. But everybody thanks us for doing the lives and keeping them like in a positive energy throughout this whole time during COVID, because it got very depressing, very down. People were lonely. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're completely alone. They've been able to see the lives every day, and we get to know them across Instagram and the lives, and they become a part of the Ben Hart family. We were talking about Bold and Beautiful family earlier, but I see the same thing happening with this, which is really interesting.
And everybody loves to shop, but there's some people out there that it's a requirement inside of them. And even if they don't buy something, they want to try it on, and it's part of their nature. So to have somebody there helping them out, showing them the product, seeing the product, it's a game changer, I think. You know, it's another way. Also, you're also introducing an entire, I think Zoom really changed everything, really. Yeah. You really opened up
the whole consumer
market.
It's been incredible, actually, because when we show them one, they buy one item, then they get it, and they're like hooked. We have recurring customers all the time. They keep coming back, shopping, buying more, and we've gotten to know them all by name now. And not necessarily would that happen if people came in and bought. You know what I mean? It's kind of a different, it's a more work for
it's
us.
More personable, first of all.
We have to take all that time with them and not doing the lives and everything, but it's created an interesting, different way of shopping.
Yeah. Do you think that's going to change?
For us or for everybody?
Just everybody in general and how people consume.
I think it now is a newer way to do things that you can add, like once the shops get open, are more open again, and people are out shopping and traveling. But now this is another way you can add to that, you know, so you can still do the personal service and also the people coming in the store and shopping. So I think it's great to have both.
Yeah. Well, make sure you guys check out Ben Hart. I have one more question for you, Kelly. It's a question I ask everybody on my show. Boys Town's saying is, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, which of course is some famous lyrics, but also the idea is somebody's carried all of us at some point in our life. I know I've been carried, my wife carries me, I've been carried by so many people over the years. In fact, I think there was even a point you might have carried me, and who's carried you, Kelly?
Ooh. Okay. So, I mean, that could, I could take a time to really think about that, but I'm just going to say off the top of my head.
That's all.
I'm sure there's so many people through my life that have done this at different moments, you know, even if it's for 5 minutes, you know, but those were important 5 minutes. So, but of course, I'm going to say my mother. Mm-hmm. She has carried me immensely through the years, you know, and she's the voice behind my head that said, don't doubt yourself, believe in yourself, and go out and do it. Like, she's, that voice is there all the time. My kids definitely have carried me because of their love, you know, their unconditional love and just being who they are and being their innocent little selves as they grow up and go through, you know, learn about life and go through changes and just being there as a mother, you know, it's really eye opening. Dominique Zoida, who's the love of my life. I met him, I guess I finally knew what I wanted in a partner, you know, and I finally could envision it or put it into words and say it. And there he was. It wasn't like I was looking, but I finally was comfortable in what I wanted in my partner in life. And he has brought so much to my life, you know, just so much inspiration. I love sharing my life with somebody like that, you know, and he's been incredible. He does everything. You know, he's been my supporter. He's been my Sherpa. I feel bad saying all these things he's been to me, and I hope I've been just as much to him, you know, because I've never had somebody in my life, you know, a partner like that in my life, really be there for me, really look at me and support me and say, no matter what, I got you, you know, no matter how you act or treat me today, I still got you, you know, no matter what you do or who you are, you're perfect to me and I got your back. And he is that. I mean, there's so many other amazing, perfect things that I could say about him. And it's more than I even expected, even when I got into the relationship. But I do hope that I'm as much to him as he is to me, because he's incredible.
I'm sure that you are. Otherwise, I don't think it would be the other way around. You're an absolute beautiful soul, and I understand why you love him, and he loves you, and you guys are a great team together. So thank you for answering that question.
I'm sure I didn't even answer it exactly the way I wanted to, because there's
you're gonna think about it later on and be like, oh my God, there was like 100 other people. But you know what? There's no right or wrong answer. It's just,
yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
just, you know, this is, we, you know, it's nice to be able to recognize it even in the moment or later on.
Right.
Who carried us?
Or else we'll have to do a part two.
Well, we might have to do a part two.
That's right.
But I want to thank you, Catherine Kelly Lang, for being a part of Real Conversations with Jacob Young and spending some time with us today.
Well, Jacob, I have to say, this has been a very inspirational day for me. Now I feel good. I feel good seeing your face and talking to you and having this wonderful interview. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. And I can't wait for everybody to take a listen.
Real Conversations is proud to announce our partnership with Lane Frost Brand. We'll be doing a monthly giveaway of a different item each and every month, so be sure to enter. All you have to do is follow at Real Conversations with Jacob on Instagram, tag two friends, and be sure to download the latest episode of my podcast. And in the meantime, make sure you check out all the amazing merchandise for the whole family at lanefrost.com.
I'd now like to bring on the manager of the Boys Town National Hotline and our resident professional, Chris Halsom. She's been on vacation. We talk a lot about self-care on this show. And guys, it's important to take a break every once in a while. Welcome, Chris. Are you recharged and feeling good?
Yes, I am definitely recharged. I was just saying earlier that living in the Midwest, you deal with some kind of nasty winter weather. And there was one day where the wind chill temperatures were like 30 below zero. And I said, we have got to get someplace warm. So it was very nice to just kind of get away for a while and now the weather's nice here too, so it's a win-win.
That's great. That's great. Well, welcome back to the show. We missed you.
Well, I miss being a part of it.
So the interview with Catherine, there's a lot of good takeaway points that we talked about. One of the points that I took away from it was her ability to keep storylines that she's involved in at work and keep that separate from her home life, because some of those storylines can be pretty impactful, dramatic. You're putting your entire heart and soul into these things, and it could be anywhere from marriages being split up, death, and keeping that separate. What do you think about that?
Well, I always find that interesting with especially actors, actresses, how you do have to separate that, because emotionally you have to get into your role, and then to pull yourself back out of that emotion has to be challenging. But honestly, it's the same thing for any job that anybody has. I mean, you get frustrated with coworkers or something that happened at work, or things just aren't going well. You get passed over for a promotion or whatever. How do you make sure that you shut that piece of you down to some degree in order to be able to come home and be with your family and not take it out on them or kick your dog or whatever else? That it's a challenging thing. It honestly is. So I appreciate the fact that she talked about how she was able to compartmentalize those pieces in her life. So when she took the makeup off and walked away, she was done with work and she was headed home to be with her family. So I think it's a good analogy. Like, as we're driving home from work, how do we take that makeup off? How do we walk away from that job so we can come home and be the best version of ourselves for our family and not take things out on them?
Absolutely. That's a great analogy, taking the makeup off, you know, or just removing the day, so to speak, so you can come home to your family who haven't been affected necessarily by the workspace, or even in this particular incident. And I know this from personal experience. It took me many years actually to get used to walking away from building up to this emotional storyline, trying to make it as real as possible. It may be my wife dying in my arms, and then not taking that home and being able to still put a smile on my face and not be completely emotionally exhausted for my family. So it's a really nice, I like that analogy, taking the makeup off and going home and wiping away the day and addressing your family, because, you know, they're innocent bystanders.
Right. Well, and your home should be your happy place, your safe place. So if you're dragging all that stuff home with you, you never get away from it. So you know, and it's challenging. For some people, it's a lot harder than others to be able to kind of wash that away when they walk in the door. So, you know, if you're married, talk to your spouse. Can you give me 5 minutes a day to just kind of debrief about things, or debrief with coworkers rather than bringing it all home with you? It can be a challenge. And, you know, same thing for kids. Kids get frustrated at school. And how easy is it for kids to come home from school and kind of act out with their parents, argue with their parents? And a lot of times it's because they're frustrated with what's gone on at school, or they're not getting enough sleep, or they're hungry and tired, whatever. It's a good lesson to start teaching kids early on. Like, I'm here for you as a parent. I want to help you. So when you come home, tell me about what's going on, rather than just being irritable and not going along with, you know, whatever else is going on in the home. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Don't say, honey, where's my dinner? I'm starving.
Right. Yeah. That's probably not a good thing to do.
Oh man. I need to start changing my perspective when I come right the house, into the door. No, of course not. Typically, well, she's such a big help, but I do a lot of the cooking. I pick up the slack. We talked also a lot about the self-care, and we were just mentioning that. Why is self-care so important?
Well, I think one of the things, especially related to, like we were talking about, if things have happened outside the home and then you come home, you need downtime. You need a chance to regenerate, rejuvenate, so you can get yourself picked up for the next day. I always think about that with kids whose school is maybe not the most optimal place to be. Maybe they have a hard time with just learning or with their peers. If kids can come home to a supportive family, it kind of recharges those batteries and gets them able to face the next day. But if a kid comes home, they're having trouble in school, they're coming home, and home is a volatile place or very chaotic, it's very hard for them to be able to just kind of wind down and face what's coming the next day. So that whole being able to rejuvenate and just get your batteries charged is super important.
Yeah, and it reflects on the family. I know with my son, I feel like there's more homework than ever. I don't remember this much homework. I think it's great. I think they're learning a lot, but maybe it could be taxing on them. And if there's a chaotic situation that's going on at home, it's going to be affecting their work ability to get their homework done and get it in on time. And then the parents are going, well, why isn't it done? Why didn't you do it? Well, did you hear you guys were fighting today, or there was just too much going on and I didn't have a chance to even focus or even have his downtime or her downtime? So I think that's very important. Another thing we talked about with Catherine was perfectionism and dealing with that. I mean, she's in the spotlight. And also, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean her, but anybody that's just has to face the day, really. There's so much emphasis that is put on perfectionism, specifically with social media and giving children unrealistic ideals on how they should look, how they should, what they should wear, makeup, trends. Tell us a little bit of your thoughts on that.
Well, I do think you and I have talked about social media before, how it really does set people up for an unrealistic expectation of everything from looks to success. And we always have to remember that nobody's life is perfect. Our life is never going to be perfect. So just helping kids, especially, with realistic expectations. And I think helping people set goals is so important. If you've got goals set for yourself and they're realistic, you can slowly chip it away at some of those ideals that you have. Some days things are going to go perfectly and other days they're not. And you don't want to collapse just because things didn't work well. So sometimes, especially you'll see that with young kids, they get very frustrated. They don't always know how to articulate what's going on. So it's helping just be able to learn from mistakes and start back over again. Set those goals and do what you can step by step to achieve them.
And perhaps having a realistic idea on what perfectionism is to you individually. Maybe it's, I'm going to eat something that's healthy today. Maybe I'm going to go for a walk. I love that idea of chipping away at something because, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither
right.
is your idea of what makes you feel beautiful or secure or feeling your best. So maybe it's just eating something healthy. Maybe it's going for that walk. Maybe it's I'm going to take 10 minutes to meditate, downtime. All of those good things can help us feel better and more whole of a person.
Right. Well, and if you set your goals too big, then you just set yourself up to fail. And then you're back in this cycle again. So very small baby steps sometimes is all you need to do. Well, I'd like to walk for 5 miles, but you know what? Maybe realistically, I'll get a mile in tonight. So you just do what works for you. And I appreciate, too, that she talked about don't compete against others. Just try and better yourself. And you reflected back to previous interviews that we'd had where people talk about just be the best version of yourself. If you try and be somebody else, you're always going to come up short. Be the best version of yourself. That's super important.
Yes. Yes, it sure is. Yeah. She also, she's such an entrepreneur, Catherine Kelly Lang. She's had clothing lines for years. They have this new store and she juggles all of this while she's shooting Bold and the Beautiful many, many days of the week. Finding that time, what we've been talking about is so crucial for her and so crucial for anybody who's trying to do multitask and be the entrepreneur that she is, or maybe your friends or somebody else are. So, you know, take it in stride. Don't try to conquer the world all in one day, and make sure you make that time for yourself.
Yeah. And it can, sometimes it's just those little things. I think you guys talked about taking a nap or taking a bath, or even if it's just getting out in the sun and breathing in some fresh air. It doesn't have to be big things, but it's what is it that rejuvenates you and helps you feel better and more motivated.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. It's good talking to you. Yeah, good talking.
I know. I missed getting to talk to you for a few weeks there.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today, but Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the mental health podcast, is sponsored by Boys Town. At Boys Town, their slogan is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And for over 100 years, Boys Town has been saving children and healing families. And they're only one call away, and they're always there to help. Please go to boystown.org for all the details on how to access Boys Town's health services. Or simply go to yourlifeyourvoice.org. If you're in crisis or in need of immediate help, please call the trained counselors at the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 or text VOICE to 20121. Thanks for joining me on Real Conversations. I'm Jacob Young. Till next time, love yourself and love each other.